Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh my God, can you believe it? We've all survived the hurricane and we're back. My name is Mal. With me as always,
Romy.
And this is the Indie Circuit, Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit.
It's awesome. This is my third show, and it's with me as always.
All as always is because
yes, trusty sidekick.
I'll tell you what, the audience goes, "Oh, thank God, not another solo show." We're listening to him yammer on about who cares.
It's two of us yammering on about who cares.
Exactly, and that makes it that much better. This might be a yammering heavy show. Actually have a topic.
That was researched in advance.
By one of us.
I actually have notes.
Yeah, you can tell one of us came prepared and one of us is going to just kind of wing it with his own inane banter and opinions about dumbness.
Hey, it'll be like Loveline, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You got one person that's knowledgeable on a topic and the other person that's just there to make it fun.
Yay, I'm Adam Carolla!
Yeah.
Put in the records, we're Adam Carolla. And Dr. Drew.
And for the record, 75% of the people were there to hear Adam Carolla anyway, so in the end, you know, the guy with...
It's win-win,
the
who
guy
cares?
With the notes, yeah, not so important.
No, that's not true. But wait, before I even get too deeply into this, I, of course, want to give a shout-out. I guess today we're going to have to figure out the official thing. So, if you're listening, you're going to want to have a piece of paper and pencil by you, because later in the show, we're going to give
specific... How often do you hear that these days?
I know.
Okay, have your cell phone, your smartphone with the notes app open.
Something. I don't know. I know.
You remember as a kid, you used to hear that on TV? They'd say that, like, there was something important coming.
There's a code coming up.
They'd warn you, like, after the next commercial.
Well, this is kind of a momentous occasion for the Indie Circuit. A band sent along an extra CD as a free giveaway. And I'm going to look around the illustrious studio here and probably throw in a few...
Okay, my address is set... Oh.
A few odds and ends. And we're going to have our first contest, our first giveaway. You know, brought to you by Satan's Pilgrims. And they're, you know...
That's a good choice, too,
by the way. It's so awesome.
If you were going to get a giveaway... I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard a lot of the music played prior to my time here, but...
I know.
But I know what... music is when you're getting it from bands who are trying to get themselves out there.
I know. You see...
And Satan's Pilgrim was one we approached. Actually, you approached.
Yeah.
Because we already knew their stuff was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I couldn't believe it. And then I just, out of the blue, I mean, because I bought Frankenstomp. You can buy all their stuff out online. They have a new one called Sinestro. And, you know, so they were like, oh, yeah. Because I said, can we play your music? And they said, well, what do you have? And I said, well, I have Frankenstomp, you know. And they were like, of course you can play our stuff. And they said, well, let us get you some newer stuff. And I was like, cool. And they actually, old school, mailed me CDs.
Sweet.
And then there was an extra one for a giveaway. And I was like, yes. So, listeners, you are going to be, you could be the recipient of the first ever Indie Circuit giveaway. Hopefully, the first of many. Who knows?
Yeah.
I can start
now
shaking
that we've cracked
down.
The ice, you could be like, well, other bands.
Yeah, other bands have given stuff. And not only that, maybe I can shake the trees out of Radio St. Pete corporate headquarters. Maybe I can shake loose
They've
some.
They've got to have some crap sitting around.
I'll search through drawers when they're out of the offices. And I'll see, maybe I can get
You're like, okay, this week we have for you Smooth Jazz Volume 123, copyright 1973. That looks like there's a coffee stain on the cover, but it still plays, dude.
I'll be like, didn't get a lot of response to that. So anyway, towards the end of the show, we are going to tell you how you can win, and it's going to be via email. So please make sure you're, jot it down. I'll say it numerous times, but,
so,
you know.
Pencil, paper, self-addressed stamped envelope.
Because the first person that responds correctly will get out of my pocket. I'm going to mail this, you know, the CD and... I'll find a couple other wacky things. I have a screen printing business, so you'll probably get a couple of those stickers, you know, just because why wouldn't I cross promo?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so look for that. And hey, why not we just roll? We'll roll into some Satan's Pilgrims so you can hear a little bit about the awesomeness that you might win.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Oh, nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
Our planet may be doomed, our Earth devastated. The monsters are in revolt, and civilization is in chaos. Godzilla is laying waste to New York. Rodan is attacking Moscow. Manda is smashing London, and Peking trembles under the wrath of Mothra. Our battle cry must be, destroy all monsters. Who can say which country or city will be next? We must unite and destroy all monsters. Is there a way to defend against Godzilla, Rodan, Manda, and Mothra? The answer is no. Let our battle cry be, destroy all monsters. Be prepared. See for yourself, in color from American International. Destroy all monsters. This picture is rated G for general audiences. Destroy all monsters.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
I'm glad I don't have as many problems. We're on air. I'm just talking. Anyway, yes. Okay, so that was, of course, Satan's Pilgrims. And that was a few cuts off of the CD, You Might Win. Awesome. Stay tuned to find out how. That was Satan's Pilgrims off their newest album, CD, whatever you want to call it, called Sinestro. I played Buggin' Out, The Juggernaut, and Creep Beat. Then I dropped in the wonderful trailer for Destroy All Monsters. Nice. And remember, if you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico. So anyway, we did that was the bumper I played right when we came out of the break. Yes, that was Krusty the Clown from the movie. So what topic? I was driving to work and I was kind of like watching people weaving around to the next stoplight, like tailgating people and being real aggressive. Like, I kind of, when I'm driving to work, the last thing I care about is
getting there on time.
Well, I get there on time, but I know it is the mad rush to be the first person to the red light. And I started thinking about humanity and are we really like bigger jerks now than we used to be? And I posed the question to Promi, and Promi, with his very analytical mind, shot back 8 different variations of that, and I said, ah, and I shrugged, and then he said, how about we do this one? I said, that sounds good. So, what was the actual honed-down question du jour for the Indie Circuit listener? What did you said it was...
Oh, crap, I don't remember.
Oh. You did a lot of research. Answers, yeah. But
basically, you know, As a species, are we getting worse?
Human race. The human race. Not, you know, this isn't white, black, nothing. This is nothing to do with nothing. Not women, not men. This is all of us under the microscope from aliens looking down going, yeesh.
Yeah.
Remember when we checked up on them in the 1700s? Well, yeah, it's gotten worse.
If someone had looked at us back then and looked at us now, I mean, you think about the way things were, you think about the way things now are with war, with what we're doing to the planet, what we do with, you know, the other animals on this planet. You know, basically everything, the way we treat each other, you know, you go into Walmart at 3 a.m, well, I actually...
You're asking for trouble,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, so forget that one.
Yeah.
You fight for a parking space in Target. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. It was one of those things where I've always kind of wondered that. Because if we've learned anything, well, the history we know has been kind of cleansed and whitewashed and, again, not racist whitewash, just whitewash to the fact that it's pretty squeaky clean compared to the reality of it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So have humans always behaved this way? Just now we all have cameras and computers to record everything. Or have we kind of gotten a little bit more deranged and a little bit more aggressive and violent and mean spirited to each other? You know, that's, I don't know. I mean, I think we have, but not as much as we think. That's my opinion. Like, I think because we see and people laugh and think it's cool, so then they start thinking that's acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
You know, I remember 10 years ago, there was a nip slip on the Super Bowl and the world lost its mind. Well, and now you watch The Walking Dead and you're like, my God, this is...
Yeah, but there's no nipples. And it, you know,
yeah,
and
but it's not broadcast, Batman has nipples.
And it's not broadcast television. Those are the two things.
I get it.
Yes, it's somebody's internal organs, but it's not an external, you know, it's not a nipple, and it's not on, and more importantly, it's not on broadcast TV where there's FCC rules.
I know. Oh, and I know, but I mean...
Basically, on Walking Dead, they actually could show nipples, But yeah. they rot them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't, basically, because, yeah. you know, it's an advertiser-based platform, and they would lose a huge chunk of their marketing budget.
It's what's your opinion? You have a lot of research done, so what are your thoughts about it?
Well, before we begin, I want to read you a little quote, and this is kind of like a quiz.
Confucius? Okay, no, go ahead.
No, but it's a quote regarding modern society and the people of the day, and it's gonna be a little quiz.
Oh no,
kind of.
This is gonna be like, did Hillary say it or did Donald Trump say it? Or did Krusty the Clown say it?
Now, obviously, it's somebody old who wrote this, and you can tell by the language that they're using that you can picture like crazy old man in his.
I had the gumption for you kids to get off my lawn with your beepers and your baggy pants. And
but we'll get to that.
Though. All right.
So I see no hope for the future of our people if they are to depend on the frivolous youth of today. For certainly, all youth and reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be respectful of our elders, but the present youth are exceedingly disrespectful and impatient. Now, the question is, who were they speaking about? So we're going to break this up, and we basically make this multiple choice. And don't answer yet, but think about it. We'll get back to it when we get to the end of all of this. Was this written in the early, in the period encompassing, say, 2000 to today? Were they talking about the millennials? Was it from like 1980 to 2000, kind of covering, you know, basically kind of like us,
the explosion of the plastic world,
the generation the generation Y a little bit. Was it covering from say 1960 to 1970, covering like the hippie movement, the 70s, free love and all of that? Which of those eras, or you know what, actually we'll throw one more in there just to make it interesting. So the 60s through the 70s, the 80s through the 2000s, the 2000s on, or were they talking about baby boomers in the 1940s?
That's what I was going to pick. I think that, to me, that sounds like someone who was written before, like I always kind of say, before rock and roll.
And the reason I say baby boomers is because, remember, they're always cited as being the golden generation.
Yeah, they're the ones pointing at us now. And I actually kind of thought that sounded like someone written about... Someone say that, like, hit their stride around 52 to 54. Like, someone born 1940, 1945, their parents had no fun. Like, their fun was, okay, go carry another bag of coal. Where that was the first generation, I think, that actually had slight freedom. You know, like, they had those movies showing, like, they had cars, some of them. Some of them had a radio, you know. And these are entertainment things that exploded. So maybe every generation thinks I had it that much harder, because they did. By nature, our progress, these little computers we carry in our pockets that have an answer to everything in the instant you think of it, I didn't have that growing up, so it was harder.
Yeah.
My food had to be cooked over a burner. It was harder.
You didn't like, have things like sealed in, a countertop stove that you could spill half a gallon of liquid on, and it.
It's not like your child is that much lazier than me. He's just using the tools given to him, as I. I had a car.
And basing
his
expectations on that.
Exactly. So, you know, I had a VCR when I became a teenager.
Yeah,
my
idea of like Netflix was recording crap for weeks on end and using that cheap, the lowest quality setting so you could get like 8 hours on
Super and then, long play.
And then watching it. My kid today would not put up with actually fast-forwarding or rewinding the amount of time you need to get to the show you want to watch.
And it's easy for me to blame and go, oh, you... because. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to like write down things on paper. Remember I said paper earlier?
Yeah.
I said, it's easy for me to say, oh, look how like they're going to become dumb because they don't have to think about anything.
Meanwhile, our parents are like, hey, you got to see it once.
Yeah.
And then unless it was something like the moon landing, you never saw it again. That was it.
Exactly.
And their parents were like, you didn't even get to see it. You got to hear it once. And you had to use your imagination to picture what you were even supposed to be seeing.
If your dad let that kind of devil music through the airwaves. Because... Yeah. I remember this long story from my father, whom I think about every day. Miss you, Pop. He saved up for a record. I wish I could remember the name of the record, what it was. He and saving up meant saving up. This was they lived in squalor. They were poor.
This wasn't like shaking parents down and it took a whole week and a half.
No, this was a long time. And he put the record on and his dad didn't like it. Whipped it off the top of the porch and smashed, like whipped it off and smashed it, you know. And that was regular occurrence. That wasn't like, oh, one time. You know, that was a story told to me. So that kind of mentality, kids didn't have a say. And then then they didn't like that, so they let me have a say, kind of. I didn't have a whole lot of say, but they feigned it enough that I thought I did.
Yeah. So,
but now kids kind of...
Hey, man, you had an Atari, you know?
I know.
So...
just what more can you have?
Like? I mean, obviously, you know, like, you didn't buy that.
So. No, hell no, you know. And that's what I mean. Like,
so they definitely, you know, they're definitely what... I mean, and those were expensive back in the day, so that was a...
To a family that don't have nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a far cry from having to save up to buy a record.
That's what I mean. Like,
so they definitely did.
Yeah. Each generation wants their kid to not suffer the way they did. Or suffer in air quotes.
Yeah, suffer. their version of suffering.
Real suffering is being persecuted for your beliefs and killed in the square and, you know...
It's all relative. It's all relative to the current society.
I know.
So, you know, we went without... I went without electricity for, 4 days, and you would have thought the world was coming to an end, you know? I actually had to eat at Burger King.
Bad it got. It was so bad I ate at Arby's. No, I couldn't believe... How quickly I went from, oh, thank God my house didn't get knocked down, to, wait, turn that power on. It was literally like an hour later. I'm sitting there with my Japanese fan, and my brain is ticking away, getting angrier and angrier. And I was like, you know, how quickly I went from, oh, good, my possessions are not strewn about Florida, to when are those idiots coming to
fix my
electric? Which they're not idiots. That's your.
It's 87 degrees out today, damn it.
I'm such a loser, and that's just like how fast it goes. It's like, be thankful for what you have, you know. And I always try to stay grounded, but it's so hard.
But I can't tell you how many people how many discussions I've had about what did we do before air conditioning in the last week and a half,
because I never had it growing up, and then when I moved, like,
yeah, but you didn't live here, though. That's,
yeah, but I mean, I'll tell you what, Pennsylvania gets hotter than here.
Well, I know, it's just not the oppressive, never-ending humidity, too.
Well, Florida, the difference is in Pennsylvania, you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh, it's like 72, that's nice. Oh, now it's 106, you know.
Yeah.
And then it goes back down, where Florida, it dips down to 91, then goes back up to 95, yeah, then dips down to 91 again, so it's kind of like,
and I'll say, like, well, you know, I like to compare it to Las Vegas, you know, but except for, you know, at night, Las Vegas can get... frighteningly cold, but
isn't that like crazy? The first time I heard that as a kid, sorry to cut you off, yeah, that the desert goes from a million to zero to a million. I was like, how is that possible? Like, you think it'd be like glass or something? Like, it'd be like lava and glass as the terrain. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when you first step out of the airport, there, it feels like you're walking into an oven. And when I say that, I'm not being colorful. I mean, it feels like if you've ever stuck your arms into an oven to get something out, that dry. You can burn. Feel. You can feel like your hair starting to shrivel down, yes, closer to your skin. That's how it feels when you first walk out. It's like 100 degrees
because they actually have a fake arm that opens up an oven door. That's where the planes land in Las Vegas. They're like, yeah, the little light goes on,
yeah,
and then they close the door, and you're like, oh, we landed in the airport.
But like once you're actually in it, you know, it doesn't feel that bad. I mean,
it's acclimate to it a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, because it's like your armpits stay dry because, you know, there's zero humidity. So all moisture, you get shocked every time you touch a door outside in Vegas.
Oh, that's crazy.
From static electricity. But, you know, but there's no moisture. So,
yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those.
I think it's a combination of the heat that never goes away and the fact that we've always got like 40% or more humidity here.
I know, but you still have to like. At some point, I always try and bring myself back.
From when it starts to rain, it's not really like a wet day; it's just a wetter day.
Yeah, but as a person,
I finally got thick enough to fall out of the sky.
As a person, I always try to like be grounded and be thankful and some of that. And I don't think a lot of people have that.
Yeah,
and I don't even know why I attempt it. That's where some of my frustration comes, because you get disappointed when you're like, oh, you know. Why would they have not be considerate towards other people? Or why is this guy in this truck tailgating everyone? Oh, frantically rushing. We're all going to the stoplight, dude. None of us are getting through that. And you just sit there, and then it begins again. And the next stoplight, a quarter mile down the road, he's doing the same crap. He's not going anywhere. you know, and it just frustrates you as a person. So it's just one of those things where that's where the whole thing came from. I was like, man, maybe it's just an internal filter that many people do not have.
My name is Rex, and if you study with my 8-week program, you will learn a system of self-defense that I developed over 2 seasons of fighting in the Octagon. It's called Rex Kwando.
Welcome to the house of Madame Kitty, the most exclusive house of pleasure in Berlin. Around you, you see the most famous people in Nazi Germany. Everybody who is anybody is here tonight. And there are Madame Kitty's girls. Oh, they're beautiful, and they will do anything you want. Anything. But I will tell you a secret that none of the men here know. You must keep your mouth shut, because all the girls work for the Gestapo. They will report everything you say to them. So later, maybe the Gestapo will blackmail you, or even shoot you for what you said. But don't worry. You're here at Madame Kitty's to have fun. So enjoy yourself. The night is young.
Trans-American Films presents Madame Kitty, starring Helmut Berger and Ingrid Tulin. A true story. Rated X.
Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Everybody go out there.
Maybe I'm new here. Once born a day. Stay back, I got a chainsaw.
Uh-oh. All right, and you know, you all knew what that was going to be. My third segment is always dedicated to my one true love, the 5678s, the world famous 5678s.
How many are there in them? Is it three?
Yes.
Four. So
there's been a couple here and there, you know.
Your other three wives.
Yeah, we're not going that far. Anyway, that
you
was...
You just said your one true love.
Well, musically, you know. So that was the 5678s. I played off of their Pretty Little Lily Can Dance No More. Of course, I played Pretty Little Lily Can Dance No More. Daddy Goes Out Jail, Oh Baby, and Space Rock Part 1.
See, you know what would be cool is if on a future album they came out with like a sequel to that, like Pretty Lily, Pretty Whatever, Little
Pretty
Lily,
Little
had
Lily
one more dance in her.
Actually can dance. Yeah. Now, I actually like one that is called like Mao's Favorite Cuts, and I'd be like, oh man, I'd be on the album cover with my big thumbs up, you know. No, I don't think that's going to happen. So make sure you go to Time Bomb Records out of Japan. They're the ones who gave us the green light, go ahead and play their awesome music. I can't say enough. I've bought stuff all the time. You're going to pay a little bit more for shipping, but if you want to be show off all these cool like albums and DVDs and stuff that no one else can get.
This is the internet age. People buy stuff from all over the world now.
And Time Bomb Records is a place you should go shopping. Now, I alluded to at the beginning, before we get into our last segment, deep into talk or deep into music, whichever we choose, I did want to say, this is how you're going to win. On air will be the very first winner of the Indie Circuit big giveaway of the month, of the year. We'll see where that goes.
Possibly of all time, if things don't go well.
I am going to, yeah. It could be the one and only. Yeah. Rare.
Yeah, that's, yeah, limited edition. Exactly. You can sell yourself.
So this is the first giveaway. I'm hoping for more. I'm gonna start asking bands, hey, you want to be featured? Look how much I'm going to talk about you. So, if you want to be a sealed copy, not the one I ripped for the shows, if you want a sealed copy of Satan's Pilgrim's newest awesome music, you heard in the first music break, Seraph Music is the coolest thing ever, so you know you got to love them.
You know, if we could get one of those machines that, like, plastic wraps things, we could have a lot of sealed copies of stuff to give away. Yeah.
Those are like $8. Anyway, we're not going to do that. So, yes, send an email. Remember the old school emails? To zenbone@hotmail.com.
And if Hotmail.
I know, yikes. And if you're the first person, put like a giveaway or Indie Circuit giveaway in the subject. Be the first person to write in what year Satan's Pilgrims formed and what is their hometown. Where did they form in? What town did they form in? Now, in the same breath, I'm going to say, make sure you go check out satanspilgrims.com for all their merch and their bios, and there's little tidbits of information you might find handy at satanspilgrims.com.
Check out the price of the CD, and then maybe check think out about
the bio podcast, page, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So it's satanspilgrims.com. And you'll be glad you did. And if you send in the email first to zenbone@hotmail.com, you might be the recipient of said awesome giveaway.
And we're going to work on getting Mao a more reputable email address.
Yes, I know. Ooh, tell me about it. And then also, maybe say what name you want said on air if you are said winner, so I can, of course, pump you up and say, oh yeah, this is the awesome winner of the awesome thing that I mailed out.
Otherwise, he's just going to use your email handle. Could be your real name.
Might
could
be that, .hotmail.
Could be that thing you signed up for in the 90s that back before people realized, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so for closure on that, do you think we are more violent than we have been?
Well, interesting topic, because, you know, the general consensus is that things are, you know, basically going straight into the crapper.
Uh-huh.
And, a lot of the evidence that we have actually does not support that. You know,
take
what we're doing to the planet, the pollution, the global warming and everything. You know, that's a hot topic. pun intended.
Yeah. T-shirts everywhere.
But just a week ago, you know, there was some new evidence that showed that we actually might not be quite as bad off as we thought. That we may actually have decades more in us to fix things than we thought we did.
Wow.
And you know, if you look at the way things work right now, the countries that are producing a lot of the gases and stuff that are causing global warming are countries like China and India, countries that are starting to come into their more developed stages.
Where we were in the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. And so, you know, and what's happening is we look at that and go, well, you can't do that. And they're looking at that going, bull, you guys did it. Now's our chance, you know?
Yeah. And when they get enough money.
And then things change for them. And that's a progressive thing. The reason it's bad now is because they did it after us. And, you know, like,
we did some
damage. They're now bigger, right. And they're trying to do it,
too. There's a lot more of it now.
You know, and plus...
Size-wise.
And plus, when we did it, there wasn't a country like us that was doing it on a lower level still.
Yeah.
Like once you reach this level, there's going to be a level of pollution that's just going to happen, and that's...
L.A., the 80s.
Yeah.
Remember that?
But I mean, you know, we're still here, we're still driving cars, we're still burning fossil fuels, we still contribute on some small level.
We're just trying to make it
better. As China and these other countries ramp up with theirs, the fact that we exist, the fact that the U.K. exists, and Australia exists, and Russia exists, and Germany exists, and we're all kind of still small, you know... When all of us were doing it big time, there were no other countries that like us that existed that were still continuing to do it
cranking
on a smaller level.
Right.
So we got into there with a completely clean slate before we started screwing things up.
Yeah.
They're coming into it where there's already a small problem and it's being compounded by what they're doing. Plus, they are doing it on a bigger level because there's more of them. You know, the other thing is the news. You know, there was a time when, you know, we did a lot of bad crap and you just didn't hear about it because...
It wasn't hot and cool. Know, it wasn't, you know, the cool news thing to
even
say,
when
oh.
Even when we were kids, most of your news was local. You know, there was national coverage that lasted for like a half hour a night.
If that,
And then the majority...
10 minutes of that.
Yeah, and the majority of the news, what was happening in your town or your community or your city or your region. So, you know, you weren't hearing about murders or protests or anything, or if you did... You know, on the other side of the country, it was just a quick blip. International news, you know,
as
almost
soon as
nothing.
24-hour news stations became a thing, they had to figure out what to talk about for 24 hours.
Yeah,
and if something gets really popular, they just run it to the ground. Like, one time, somebody goes up the wrong way and kills somebody. Then all of a sudden, you start hearing about, like, all these wrong way deaths. Now, I'm fairly certain that's happened every year of our lives in Florida. You look at our road maps, they're a joke. Or a road signs and crap everywhere, and of course it happens. But it piqued interest, and they said, look at how many clicks we got for this.
And you hear about it more.
Plus, another one.
You hear about it more, and therefore you think it's happening more. And the truth is you're just hearing about it more.
Right, and that's what I think. And also, I think the ant hill has gotten so big that, yes, there's more mass murders because there's more of us here, like, percentage-wise, it's the same.
See, actually, you'd be surprised on that. In the United States, violent crime has actually been consistently going down over the last 20 years. Yeah.
So that,
on a population basis, it's actually gotten better. Like, New York is a perfect example of this. Whoa. In the 1960s or 1970s, New York was a very dangerous place to be.
It's like Detroit.
Yeah.
Murder town, you know.
And, you know, if you go down there, if you look at what Times Square looked like back then versus, say, what right now it looks like Disney. Well, Disney does control actually a decent chunk of it.
Disney bought New York and cleaned them up.
But I mean, it's a very gentrified version of what there was before. Yeah. But, you know, the perception that it's still a tough and rough, dangerous city, and, you know, in any city is
cities,
you know. City is a city, but but compared to what it actually was, and this is current generation, you know, these were the people that were alive there then are the people that are talking about how bad things are now.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's not just the 24-hour news cycle, it's the internet, it's the fact that you can get news or updates pushed to your phone by default on the iPhone. It actually gives me news updates about stuff that I might not even pay attention to otherwise. Yeah. And that's good and bad. You know, you are more informed about the world, but being more informed means realizing that things are not the way they are in your neck of the woods all the time.
And I always wished, that's one thing, because I do think the modern technology with, like I said, an answer to anything you ever want in your hands, I think it's kind of like it adds to the perception. So it is, I think we are leaning towards, we're not as bad, but the perception is that we're worse.
Yeah.
Every year we're worse and more crazy. But in the reality is we've always been, we just have faster cars and more people in the way of whatever, you know.
And when you actually look at all of the data, everything says we are getting better, believe it or not.
I hope so.
You know, if you think about it, you know, medical technology. 150 years ago, what did a doctor actually do?
They put a leech on your head.
They gave you they gave a name to your problem and had you go sit in a room with other people that seemed to have the same problem.
Yeah.
You know,
why don't we prop that up, though? Like, we are making groundbreaking discoveries. Space, oh my God, space is amazing. Because I love space exploration.
Because that's competing with Kim Kardashian's butt for attention.
But we as a society should go, we don't care about that but we want to see these awesome space things, and you know, and are we talking to these worlds that we were discovering? But and it's just not human nature, like it's not reality, you know.
Yeah, and there's it's complicated too, because Kim Kardashian's butt is easy to understand. You like it or you don't, you know.
I don't.
And if you like it, then you talk about it. And if you don't, you talk about it. Whereas you know, NASA's you know, plans for you know, colonizing Mars in the future is complicated, and
it's glorious.
You can sensationalize it, but then you're also kind of not telling the facts.
Then you're overproducing.
And then when you get into the facts, you lose people because,
oh my God, I don't understand these last 10 sentences have lost me.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's harder for people to understand, and you know, like if you look back historically, think about this now. You know, say in medieval times, you know, when people were considered nicer and better and whatever else, you know, life was hard, it was horrible, and it was typically short. If you lived in some place, you more than likely lived under the rule of people you wouldn't even recognize if you saw. Yeah. And these weren't people you looked up to or you admired. These were people who basically taxed you and would kill you if they wanted your land.
Samurai were permitted to kill people if they didn't.
They
felt slighted by you.
Yeah, perhaps you were part of an army. You were basically paid to go into a battle that you knew there was a real high likelihood you would not win, to make money, to live. Yeah, you know,
it's crazy.
You weren't a soldier because you wanted to be, or because you believed in your cause, or you were looking out for your current ruler. You were doing it.
Now we do that for corporations.
Yeah. But I mean, but people died brutally. People were murdered constantly. You know, show Game of Thrones. I know you've never watched that, but it's a show that's often criticized for the level of sex and the level of violence in it, because the sex part is toned down over the years, but the violence is definitely not. And people are always asking, you know, was it, you know, and elements of it are based off of our own medieval times. It's a fantasy show, so obviously big parts of it aren't. But people are saying, you know, would it have really been anywhere near this brutal? And they say it actually was considerably worse.
So
getting quickly, back to the original question,
because I had to wrap up with the finalized of the our giveaway.
So medical technology, I just wanted to mention that. You know, in terms of battle and war and stuff, we're actually living in the most peaceful time in the history of humanity.
Nice.
You know, if you consider, even when we came over here to the United States to conquer this land from and take it from the people that
were
here.
Which, don't stop talking about that.
The Native Americans were not a peaceful, you know, nature-loving people.
All the time.
They were fighting each other constantly before we
got here. We just were better at it.
And we were better at it, and we succeeded. And I'm not saying what we did was right, but I'm just saying, like, it's constantly thought
that has been romanticized.
It's constantly thought that the people here were all living in harmony with each other in the land. And no, they were fighting each other. The moment our pilgrims hit here, they were fighting them.
Yep.
And that was what happening in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, everywhere. Everyone was constantly fighting. Now we've got a couple of big things going on in parts of the world, and we think this is the worst it's ever been. There's just more people, and it's more publicized.
Who said that quote? What year?
Okay, 1940s through 60s, 1980s, I'm sorry, 60s through 80s, or 2000s, basically.
Yeah.
Actually, none of the above. That was written by a Greek poet who lived 300 years before Socrates and Plato.
So there you have it. Okay, make sure you send your Zenbone at hotmail.com, the year they started, and where they started. See you next week, everyone.